Amen. So anyway, open your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. The Lord needs you. The Lord needs you is the title. In Luke chapter 19, let's start in verse 29. It says, "And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never a man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. Because the Lord hath need of him." In verse 34 it says, "And they said," when they asked that question, "The Lord hath need of him." Let's just bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that, again, it's just we just make this as simple as possible, Lord. Your Word is so full of great truths. And I pray, Lord, we just see how much You need us. You want to bless us. You want to use us. And, Father, I pray that we make ourselves available to be used of God. So I thank You and pray that You'd help me to preach this message in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord has need of you. You see there in verse 31, it says, "Because the Lord hath need of him." You can put your name in there. "Because the Lord hath need of Shane." "Because the Lord hath need of Emrio." Just put your name in there, because the Lord needs us. Can you imagine that? Just ponder that for a moment, that the Creator of all the universe needs you. Now, how can that be? I mean, where is Jesus right now? Yeah, he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's in heaven. Now he's everywhere. He's God. But he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And where are we? Stuck here. We're here. And where are the lost sinners at? They're all around us. So Jesus needs us. And he wants us to bear fruit. And that's really what the message is about, being fruit bearers. But the Lord really does have a purpose. And he has a reason. And he has a will for his need for us. And that's what it says here, that the Lord hath need of a donkey. You know, Jesus, meek, amen. Jesus is meek and lowly. He could have came in on a stallion. By the way, he will. He's coming back on a white stallion, a milk white horse. And guess what? We're coming back with him. Amen. He could have came in a chariot, I guess, in some other great form of transportation, but he chose a donkey. And I'll tell you, if the Lord wants to get on my back, I'll carry him in. I'd rather be the colt, the foal of an ass, and carrying the Lord than out there in that world. But I'll tell you, you know, you remember Leighton Kelly came and talked about this colt that was tied up. And isn't it amazing? You know, the colt needed to be freed in order to be used of God. Until the Lord saved my soul, he couldn't use me. Till he freed me. Till he gave me liberty, and he freed me from all the wicked past that I had and my sin, and he set me free. And then he gave me a purpose, just like this donkey. Nobody ever sat on this little colt before, but Jesus sat on him. And God has a purpose for you also. You don't think you can be used of God? Well, I disagree. God has a will for your life. Jesus could have came on the finest transportation, but you know what? He wanted people to believe in what he was saying. Not in this fine coming as a king. Remember the song we sang, "How shall a king come?" Well, he came on the back of a donkey because he wanted people just to believe his word and not some perception of him. And we just need to humble ourselves and be used of God. Turn to 1 Corinthians. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look in verse 26. The Bible says, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things, the low things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in His presence. God has always used the weak things and the base things and the foolish things to confound the wise. Because He gets the glory in everything. Nobody can thump their chest or pop their braces, as I know they are now, not suspenders, their braces, and walk around and take any glory for it, because God did it all, didn't He? God is doing it all in your life. If anything's done for Christ, it's because God's working through you. That's God's design. That's God's choice, and that's God's calling. God called David. You say, David was a great king. Started out as a lowly shepherd. Little shepherd boy. The last of his brethren. Just the littlest one. The run of the litter. But that's who God called. And then He called Moses, who was a mumbler and a stumbler, and he was fearful and never thought he could do the job. God called him and used him in a great way. God called Paul. He called Paul. And Paul was a great theologian and all that, but I'll tell you what, Paul was killing Christians and hailing them into prison. But God called him and said, I'm going to use him for my glory. And guess what? God called you too. He called each one of us. And every time we think we can't do something, God says, I want to do something through you. I want you to serve in a ministry. I want you to help get the gospel out to somebody in your neighborhood that only you can reach. I want to use you. I want you to bear fruit for my glory. That's what God wants to do. You know, the Lord wants to take us from salvation to service. He doesn't just want us to sit and sip at the... come in and get the message and walk out and not serve. He wants us to get saved and then start serving the Lord. Start bearing some fruit. From freedom to fruitfulness, I call it. You know, God freed me. God did so much in my life. And now He wants to do so much through my life if I'll yield it to Him. Don't forget where you came from and where God has taken you and freed you and given you freedom and liberty. And now He wants to bring fruit into your life and be fruitful for His glory. The world is not going to know about Jesus Christ and salvation except for Christians. That's why we're here. There's no other reason to keep us here. He'd take us to heaven. But He's keeping us here to tell others about Jesus Christ and be fruitful. You know, we live our Christian lives before the world, and the only way they're going to hear the Bible is if we tell them. We're the ones that are the preachers. Each one out here can preach the Bible to somebody. They're not going to hear any other way. Jesus isn't calling out of heaven. He gave us the Word of God, and He gave us the voice and the hands and the feet to take the gospel out into the world. They must hear and see Christ in us. They don't see Jesus. He doesn't come and sit on the end of your bedpost at night. And you can see Him. They see Jesus Christ in us, like you were saying this morning. When someone looks at me, they ought to get some semblance of Jesus Christ by the fruit that I bear in my life. They ought to want to know, you're different. Now, I want to show you the illustration from John chapter 15, the master illustrator himself, Jesus. John chapter 15. God wants you to bear fruit. John chapter 15. Let's read some verses here. Bible says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Let's stop there. I just want to share some simple things. There's about seven things I want to share with you. It won't take long at all, really. But first, I want you to see that it's our responsibility to be fruit bearers. It's our responsibility. See in verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me can do nothing. So our role and responsibility is to be fruit bearers. People should look at our lives and see the fruit of the Holy Spirit. People that we've led to the Lord, just see something different in us. The fruit of Christ living in us by the Holy Spirit of God. That's fruit that the world needs to see. You know, it's what we are as Christians. That's what we are. Fruit bearers. We bear fruit for the Lord. You know, to bear fruit means to bring it forth and show it and exhibit it and display it to the world. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. And as far as I'm concerned, I thought about this and I thought, well, if the fruit is on the end of the tree, and if you were to go up to the trunk of a tree and look at it, you wouldn't know what kind of tree it is. You wouldn't know if it's an apple tree or a pear tree. I mean, you look at the bark, you're just looking at the trunk. But when you step back and you look at it and you see the fruit, you saw it's an apple tree. You see? So here we are. Really, what we're doing is showing the qualities and the character of Jesus Christ. When people look at us and they see the fruit in us of the Holy Spirit, they see Jesus. They say, now I know what you are. You're a Christian, aren't you? Because they see the fruit. Back up a little bit and they see Jesus in our lives, you see? It's what we are as Christians. We're fruit bearers. And it's supernatural for us to bear fruit. As natural as it was for us to sin, it's a supernatural thing for us to bear fruit. Okay? And we don't bear the fruit, it's the Holy Spirit of God. It's a supernatural force inside of us, the person of the Holy Spirit that bears that fruit that we need to yield to every day and submit to and allow to live the life of Christ through us. All we do is bear the fruit. All we are is branches. We're just the branches. We are a branch in Christ. That's what it says in verse 5. I'm the vine, he says. Ye are the branches. Okay? We're just attached to the vine. We are in Christ. We're saved. And when we yield to Him and allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, we bear fruit. And people see the character and the quality of our Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And it glorifies Him. Our role and responsibility is, first of all, just to be fruit bearers. God ordained it that way. Look in verse 16. Verse 16, it says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. You see that? God ordained it that way. This is God's will. This is His plan. We didn't just make this up. This is what the Bible says. He said, ye should go. Not sit, not make excuses, but serve the Lord and bring forth fruit unto the glory of God. Ye should go. It's His calling upon our lives. And let me say, obedience to God always brings blessings. Obedience always brings blessings. It's in verse 16, I'm sorry, in verse 8, I think it is. I'm sorry, verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. How'd you like your prayers answered? Why don't you start obeying God? Why don't you walk with God? Why don't you become what you are, a fruit bearer, a branch in Christ? And the Lord says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. You want to see some lost loved ones saved? You want to see some fruit in your ministry? Start obeying the Lord. I mean, it's just simple as that. Obedience brings blessings. We have been chosen by God and determined. He determined for us to bear fruit. Hold your finger here. Just go back to chapter 6. John chapter 6 and in verse 70. John chapter 6 and in verse 70. Jesus answered them, John chapter 6, verse 70, Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. Well, Jesus knew that. But He's the one that made the choice. He chose those disciples. And, you know, He chose us also. Many are called, but few are chosen. The call goes out, but few are chosen. And don't think that you're going to come. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, don't think you can come when you want to. God calls. God opens the heart. God sends grace and tries to open your heart and tries to draw you to His Son. But if you turn your back, I don't know when the next time He's going to allow you to come to His Son, Jesus Christ. But don't walk away when God calls. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. You may be here today and you think, I'll wait, I'll do it in my time. No, you won't. You won't do it in your time. God has called you and He's opened the door and He's given some light. And you're in this meeting and you say, yeah, I'll wait. I have my own ideas about religion. Don't wait. You better ask somebody tonight, how can I be saved? I don't know a lot about that, but I sure like to know. Because God chooses us. We don't choose Him. He came looking for me. I wasn't looking for Him. Also, we're not our own. You know, He owns us, lot, stock, and barrel. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm reminded over and over again that this is His life, not mine. Too many times I go my own way and do my own thing. And I don't own my life anymore. He purchased it. And it says here in verse 19, 1 Corinthians 6, 19, what? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's all God's. God owns me lock, stock, and barrel. It says, my body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. My body is where Jesus Christ resides by the Holy Spirit of God, lives in me. And wants to bear fruit for His glory, because the Holy Spirit always points people to Jesus Christ. And my body's a temple. He owns it. So I'm not my own. You know where they came and asking Jesus about the money and giving Caesar his taxes? He said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Then what did He say? Render unto God the things that are God. Guess what? We're sealed too. By the Holy Spirit of God. We're His. So render unto God what is the Lord's, right? You, your body, your soul, and your spirit. God ordained it that way, that we should go. This is His plan to go. And I think we need to obey. The vine doesn't bear the fruit. Go back to John chapter 15. You know Jesus, the vine doesn't bear the fruit? It's not the vine. Look at verse 1. John chapter 15 and verse 1. I am the true vine. You know, there's a lot of vines out there today. They call themselves Christ, but they're not Christ. He's the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Now look at verse 5. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. Okay, so the vine doesn't bear the fruit, you see. The Lord is the true vine, and we're the branches. But you don't see the fruit stuck to the trunk. When you go to pick apples, you don't pick them off the trunk. You have to go out to the branches. So the vine doesn't bear the fruit. I'm trying to get a picture here of a vine, okay? And you can see that Jesus is the vine, okay? He's the support for the branches. That's us, okay? We're the branches. And the fruit is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That should be in our lives. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love, joy, peace, temperance. All those things should be in our lives. They're the qualities of Jesus Christ. That's the fruit that we should bear before the world. And the Holy Spirit, I added that in there. The Holy Spirit is really like the sap that runs through the tree, that nourishes the branches through the vine. Well, that's the Holy Spirit that lives in us. But we are the branches. We bear the fruit. The vine does not bear the fruit. Okay? The vine does not bear the fruit. If you have fruit trees, I was hoping Pat and Leo would be here. They would tell you that they have to go out to the branches and pick the fruit. You're not going to find it stuck to the trunk. So, and God is the husbandman. God is the husbandman. Go and back in John chapter 15, it says, "I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman." So God, the Father, is like the farmer. Okay? The Son, Jesus, is the vine. Christians, you and I, are the branches. And the Holy Spirit is that power, that nourishment through our lives. Now look in Colossians chapter 3. We are branches in Christ. Don't forget that. Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 2. Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 2 says, "Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory." We're dead. We were dead before we got saved, and we're dead now. That carnal man is crucified, and our life is hid in Christ. We are branches in Christ. It's His power and it's His life that's being lived before the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. The vine, Jesus, is the support and the foundation for the branches. But He doesn't bear the fruit. He's in heaven. We bear the fruit here on earth. We're the branches. Now, the branches bear the fruit. Back to John chapter 15. This is important because sometimes we get to thinking that God doesn't need us and doesn't want to use us. But how in the world is the world going to know about Jesus Christ unless Christians bear fruit? I mean, the world is just not going to know. That's why we're here. To be branches in Christ so that He can win this world to Himself through us. He uses us. The branches are the ones that are bearing the fruit before the world. In verse 2 it says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit He taketh away, but every branch that beareth fruit He purgeth it." In verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except ye bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me." Verse 5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." And then in verse 8, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." That's our role and responsibility as a branch in Christ, to bring forth fruit that remains. And the fruit is visible at the end of the branch. As I said, you don't go to the trunk, the vine, you go to the end of the branch and you'll see what kind of tree it is by the fruit that it bears. The fruit is what the world sees. The fruit is what the world sees in your life. And sometimes what we show the world is not good. They don't see Jesus Christ in us. And we don't glorify Him. But the Lord wants fruit that remains in our life. Fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit of God, to glorify Him. You know, when the world looks at you, they should say, "You're different. There's something different about you. I see something different in you." And you get to say, "That's Jesus. That's Jesus living in me. He saved me." And you get to tell them about Christ. How many times has someone come up and said, "There's something different about you"? What's different about you? Why is your life different than some other people I've been watching? What's different about you? You get to tell them, "That's Jesus living in me." It's the humble and the submissive Christian that will bear that fruit. You know, the fruit usually is on the end of the branch, right? And the tree with the most fruit kind of bends real low because it's got a lot of fruit on it. And that reminded me of a humble, submissive Christian, a lowly Christian who's got a lot of fruit in their life. Just like a tree that's got a lot of fruit on it, the branches are bent down way low. And we need to just humble ourselves. We just need to submit to God and allow Him to bear fruit in our lives for His glory. You know, another thing, that the fruit will never rot on the vine. The Holy Spirit of God bears fruit in our life, brings fruit into our life. It will never rot on the vine. Turn to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. Look in Psalm 126 and in verse 6. Some of you probably memorized this. But it says, "He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." You see that? Anybody that goes out with a broken heart, bearing the precious seed of the Word of God, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. And the fruit that you bear, the Holy Spirit working in your life, bearing fruit for the glory of God, will never rot on the vine. Every tract you give out is a win-win situation. Every kind word you say to someone will come back 100-fold. Every good deed that you do will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly every prayer on someone else's behalf will be blessed of God. Fruit for the Lord will never rot on the vine. It'll always bring forth glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. The branches, though, are the ones that bear the fruit. So the only way that the world's going to see Jesus Christ is if we, as the branches, are fruitful, fruitful Christians. The vine, however, does produce the fruit. Okay? Look back in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Actually, go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. The vine produces the fruit, and this is the fruit that the vine produces in our lives. Galatians chapter 5 and in verse 22 it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Can you imagine the world seeing that in Christians every day? The fruit of the Spirit. It is not the fruit of the Christian. It's not the fruit of the branch. It's the fruit of the Spirit of God. We cannot produce this fruit. God produces this fruit in us and through us. The vine produces this fruit. The Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ living in us produces this fruit. It's not something that we can do. He is the source for this fruit. This is something the Spirit produces. And in the vine is the power of God, Christ in us. It says in 1 Corinthians 1:24 that Christ is the power of God. Turn to 2 Timothy, however. Turn to 2 Timothy. Christ is the power of God. 2 Timothy chapter 1. "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." So God has given us this power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to produce this fruit. The Holy Spirit of God is the life-giving power, the water, if you will, that flows through the vine into the branches to produce the fruit. Turn to John chapter 7. Turn to John chapter 7. And in verse 37, you can't make the fruit happen in your life. No matter how much you try, you can't do it in the flesh. This is something that only the Holy Spirit of God can do through a Christian who's obedient, abiding in the vine, living for the Lord. In verse 37, John chapter 7, verse 37, "In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, 'If any man thirsts, let him come unto me and drink.'" And I'll tell you, if you're thirsty here tonight, and you never heard about Jesus Christ, you never heard about salvation, you're wondering how people could be so happy in the midst of all the turmoil in this world, you're wondering, what is a Christian? If you have any thirst at all, you come unto Jesus, and He'll quench that thirst. He'll take care of that longing that's in your heart. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. I mean, Jesus was still with them. He was the first comforter. He was there with them. But when he left, then the Holy Spirit came. And all the power of God is living in us by the Holy Spirit of God. We can give that life-giving water to others. He said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. In your innermost part, in your being, in your soul, is that water, that life-giving water for others by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus Christ is the only one that can satisfy. And the salvation that people need comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And He can quench that thirst. It's only the Holy Spirit that can satisfy. So the vine produces the fruit. We don't. No amount of trying to work it up in your life and trying to put on a face and pretend like you're a Christian is not going to help one bit. You can't do it. Because only the vine produces the fruit. Only the Holy Spirit can produce this fruit. Because it's the fruit of the Spirit. All you do is bear it. That's all we are, is branches. The branch does have a responsibility, though. This is when it gets tough for Christians. Just to abide. To abide in the vine. Now turn back to John chapter 15. Just turn to the right a little bit there. John chapter 15. The key, the whole key is to abide. In verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. And in verse 5, he says, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, what's the key? Abiding. We talked about this before. You know what abiding is? Just staying close to Jesus Christ. Obedience is abiding. If you just obey the Lord, you'll be close to Him. You'll be near to Him. It's just staying close to Him. Abiding in Him. But that seems to be the problem with most Christians. We don't want to obey. To abide is just to take His Word in and live His Word out every day. That's abiding. It's a yieldedness and a willingness on our part to allow the Lord to live His life through us and to produce that fruit in our lives that we can't produce. And the reason that He can't produce that in our lives many times is because we simply are not abiding in Him. And many of us, who knows, may even be close to being cast forth as a branch. I'm going to show you that you can't lose your salvation. You already know that. But you can be taken out of service. You're useless. You're like a withered branch. Men cast them into the fire. We don't want to wind up our life like that, do we? We want to be a branch that bears fruit for God's glory. And the only way you're going to do that is by yielding to Jesus Christ. Yielding to the Holy Spirit. And obeying Him. And that allows you to abide in Him. Stay close to Him. So that He can bring forth this fruit in our life. The branch draws everything from the vine. I mean, if you take the branch off the tree, it's not going to produce any more fruit. It has to abide in the vine. It has to stay close to the vine. We've been grafted into Jesus Christ. We've been put into the vine. James chapter 4 and in verse 8. Turn there. James chapter 4 and in verse 8. I mean, this is what I do as a branch. This is what I'm supposed to do, is abide in Christ. And if I do that, I'll bring forth the fruit for His glory. But in James chapter 4 and in verse 8, it says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know, if we do what God asks us to do, God will do what He said He will do. And He said, if you draw nigh to Him, He will draw nigh to you. But the problem is, we like our sin too much. We just want to keep doing what we want to do. We're not abiding in Christ. We're not obedient. And God's not producing fruit in our life either. And I don't know when that time's going to come, but God might just say, you know what? You're out of service. You've been disqualified. You've been cast aside. And I can't use you now. You're not bearing any fruit because you simply won't abide. The Word of God. It's just trusting in the Word of God, living the Word of God out in your life, and you're living and you're dwelling in Christ, close to Him. Why are we not abiding? Look back in John chapter 15. I've just been talking about it here, but look in John chapter 15. Why are we not abiding? Verse 10 tells us. John 15:10 says, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Jesus not once was ever out of the Father's love. He was always abiding close to the Lord. He was always doing his Father's will. Well, that's what the branch is supposed to do, because we have been grafted into Christ. We are in him. He saved us, and now in order for him to bring forth fruit in our lives and be the branches and bear the fruit before the world, we have to abide in him. We have to constantly stay close to him. But the problem is obedience. We're so disobedient. We just want to do what we want to do. And we wonder why there's no fruit in our lives. It's not God's fault. It's never the vine's fault. It's the branch. And if you're not close to God, it's not God's fault. God never moves. He's always in the same place. It's us that move away from Him. So the branch has just but to abide in the vine. The husbandman purges and prunes the branches. You see in verse 2? In verse 2, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." Why does God purge and snip and cut the tree, the fruit tree? Why? To bring more fruit. He wants to bring forth more fruit in our life. So even as we're producing fruit, you find that, why am I going through this turmoil? Why has this come into my life? Why is this happening? Why is God doing this to me? Why is He allowing this? And we're learning about trials. Because He wants to bring forth more fruit. He's just pruning some more things out of our life that are just useless suckers and leeches that just keep drawing all the sap out of us and taking away all those good works and the things that we should be doing. God's starting to prune and nip. And why? For more fruit. He wants more fruit. You know, we get our eyes off of Him, and God has to purge. Every one of us has seen worldliness maybe creep into our lives at times, or maybe some sin that we just will not get rid of. That is like a parasite that just keeps sucking the life out of you. And instead of bearing fruit, it's sucking the life out of you. And won't allow the fruit to be born under God's glory. So God says, you know what? I'm going to try purging. I'm going to do some nipping, and I'm going to do some snipping and cutting, and I'm going to try to purge you, which means to get the dirt out, really, and clean and purify it. Purify, and in this case, it's a branch. And the only way to purge that branch is sometimes you have to do some cutting and snipping. Because there's suckers on that branch that shouldn't be there. They're not producing any fruit. They're just taken away from the life of the branch. So when God does that, just know that He's doing a good thing. He's trying to get those things out of our lives, because they're just parasites, is what they are. And He's trying to get them out so that we can bring forth fruit. The husbandman, God, does that pruning and cutting of those unfruitful twigs and those sucker branches. Sometimes they do that on a flower. It's bringing forth these beautiful blooms, but there's these others that are coming out of the branch, out of the vine, and they're not producing anything. So they just pinch them off or they pull them off, and all the life-giving sap goes into the, and water goes into the flower itself, not into these other unfruitful twigs. These are the worldly attractions that get into our life, and these are the things that take away from us producing fruit. Turn over to 1 John 2:15. Let's read it. 1 John chapter 2. And in verse 15, Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You know, these things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, are all suckers and leeches that try to pull the life out of us. These things really have need of us, and the Master has need of us. Jesus, the Lord, has need of us. But these things have need of us. They want our love. They want us to love them. We're not to love the world. We're to love God. If we love these things, then the love of the Father is not in us. So God tries to get them out. They're always trying to draw us away. You know, verse 17 says, the world passeth away. So, if God's over here, and He never moves, and the world's way over here, and always getting farther, and farther, and farther, you see how far away the world is from God, who never moves. It's passing away, and the lust thereof is getting farther and farther away from God. So the Christian, who should be right next to God, it's one foot in the world and one foot in Christ, and wants to dabble a little bit in the world, but still be a Christian, and they move a little farther away from God, but they're not where the world is, so I'm okay. And they get a little farther away, but I'm not where the world is, but I'm still okay. Then you look back and you find out how far you are away from God. God never moves. We're the ones that move away from God. Oh, we're not like the world. We still try to justify ourselves, don't we? Because the world's so far away from God. I'm not like them. Well, you're not like God either. What am I? I'm an unfruitful branch. And God may say, you know what? I'm just going to set you aside. You're not going to be used of God anymore. Yeah, I'm saved. But I might as well be cast into the fire. Because I'm withered up. I have no fruit in my life. You know, we find ourselves caught up in things that should have no place in our lives. A few things were mentioned this morning. We need to be very careful about what we do and what we watch and what we say and where we go, because we allow the world to come into our life. And the things, these things are just nothing but, I don't know how else to say it, but leeches. They're just stuck to you and they're just draining the life out of you. God has to do some pruning. And these worldly things in our lives, they don't bear any fruit. In fact, they're a reproach upon the name of the Lord. All they do is sap our strength. In verse 2, back in John, turn back to John chapter 15. In verse 2, it says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, and it may bring forth much fruit. In verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch. The same way you take a dead branch and throw it in a fire. It's no good for nothing but to burn. Now, there's a warning in verse 6 that I just read. Let me read it again. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. You know, the branch that doesn't abide in the vine will be cast away. The same way a dead branch is thrown into the fire. And sadly today, many a person has lost his place of service because he's allowed something to get into his life. There's one right on the front of my brain. The man just lost his entire ministry because he allowed something to get into his life. And it didn't come all at once, I can guarantee you. It wasn't an elephant in the room. It came little by little by little. That's the way Satan works. Like they say about throwing the frog in the pot. He's swimming around. You turn up the heat and he thinks he's in a sauna. It's wonderful. And all of a sudden, he's a boiled frog. And it's the same way with us. We find out sin has come forth and brought forth death. Look at me. Look what it's done to me. It's a shame. You can lose rewards too. You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose rewards. And to stand before Jesus Christ at the judgment seat, I know I'm going to have ashes. But I would sure like to have some gold and silver and precious stones and some crowns to lay at His feet. But I don't want to lose all my rewards. I don't want to be cast aside. I don't want to lose my place of service either. Because God won't allow that to happen. Sooner or later, He's going to, if you become a reproach on His name, He's going to cast you aside. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and we'll finish there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And by the way, it's never the Lord's doing. It's always our doing. Don't blame anybody else but yourself. When we find ourselves involved in these things that we shouldn't be, it's our problem. It's our fault. We did it. There's nobody else to blame. In the verse, 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27, Paul said, "But I keep under my body." It means I'm holding it up. I'm in control of my body. And I bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be what? Cast aside. Disqualified. You're not going to teach that Sunday school class anymore. Sorry. Found something in your life. You're not going to be preaching the Word anymore. You're not going to be pastor in that church. It happens all the time. And it can be very discouraging, except you just keep your eyes on the Lord. You know, I'm thankful about one thing I learned. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Don't look at men. They'll let you down all the time. Keep your eyes on Jesus. He never let anybody down. I don't want to be disqualified. You don't want to be thrown aside. You want to be used of God. And the Master wants to use you. The Lord wants to use you. The Lord hath need of you. Don't disqualify yourself. Because just when you think you got it all licked and you're going to be the only person that ever got under the wire and got time's up. It's going to come a time when the time's up. So be careful. Jesus Christ gave us this warning here in John chapter 15 to His disciples. So, what's the conclusion here? Our responsibility is to be fruit bearers, to bear the fruit. That's what our job is. That's what our role is. And God ordained it that way. He said, "Ye should go." This is His will. This is His plan, if you will. The vine does not bear the fruit. It doesn't come out on the trunk of the tree. The fruit's on the end of the branches. The branches bear the fruit. The vine produces the fruit. We don't. We simply abide, yield, submit. The branch is to abide in the vine, and the husbandman does a little purging once in a while. He does a little nipping, a little snipping, a little cutting. Just be thankful. Because even when it hurts, even when you know that the Lord's rebuking you, He's doing it for our good. And He's doing it for His glory, to bring forth more fruit. So what's the challenge? The challenge is, will you let Christ use you to bring forth more fruit for His glory? Just be fruit bearers, because the Lord has need of you. Amen? Amen.